Good morning, and welcome to the services for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. We open our worship this morning with the singing of our first hymn, God Himself is Present.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to this Sunday, February 2nd, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Brian Featon. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 907, God Himself is Present, number 907 found in the Lutheran Service Book. The family of Helen Mosk is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in remembrance of her birthday on February 4th.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel man.
For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth.
Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually for you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship in praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you. with you. Let us pray.
Almighty God, you know that we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in the dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the first chapter, beginning at the fourth verse. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to confession, what is confession?
Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th and 13th chapters. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we now confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 856. O Christ Who Called the Twelve. Hymn number 856 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a cosmic battle is taking place, and we are reading about it this morning. Jesus has come on the scene. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Holy One of God. Now, sometime in the first 6 days of creation, God created the heavenly creatures. You know, the angels, the archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, all those heavenly creatures we read about. And sometime between their creation and the temptation of Adam and Eve, Satan and his angel followers rebelled against God's authority. Satan tempted Adam and Eve while they were in the garden. Adam and Eve listened to the devil's word, the word that questioned the will of God. Did God really say? Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and their relationship with God, and thus the relationship of all humanity with God, was marred. It was damaged. We were separated and broken from our Creator. Satan, in malice and spite, caused the fracturing of God's creation. His good creation was now not good. God willed that he would rescue humanity from the evil of sin. He had resolved, even before the foundations of the world were laid, that he would rescue and redeem human beings from their fall into sin. He made the resolution that he would send a Savior, one who would crush the devil's head, one who would destroy the devil's works, destroy his power over humanity. So all of history has been building up to this point. The tension is palpable. It's in the air. It's in all of creation. Everything is just tightly wound up and bound. With the beginning of the baptism of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry, the conflict between Christ and the satanic forces break forth into the physical world. And Jesus has one great weapon. That one great weapon is his word. That's all he needs. So as we look at this text this morning, we find that Jesus' word takes a very prominent place in what St. Luke is telling us. Now, of course, we remember who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is God the Son. He was the one who was active at creation. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So we go to Jesus. The Word was present at the creation of the world. Jesus is the great I Am, the one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. If the people ask me, who's sending me to them? Who shall I say has sent me? You tell them, I am has sent you. In other words, Jesus is the God who is, the God who exists. He is the one who spoke with authority from the burning bush, saying, before Abraham was, I am. And as such, his word has authority. And the people recognize this. The people recognized that Jesus' teaching had authority. It wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees who were kind of like, maybe a little bit of this, maybe a little bit of that. I don't know, some here, not 100% sure about this. No, Jesus was absolutely sure. He was absolutely confident. He did not hedge his bets. He did not flip-flop his words. And the people also realized and understood that Jesus' word had authority over the spiritual world. Jesus was teaching in Capernaum, and a man who was there was afflicted with an evil spirit, with an unclean demon, and the demon cries out, ah! You know, you read that, you know, just an exclamation point, just, ah! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Ah, I know who you are. The Holy One of God. You know how many times you read that to try and get something like that right? I wonder what that sounded like in Jesus' day. What did that demon sound like speaking through the man It was probably horribly terrifying. But the demon who was holding the possessed man in bondage, right? And remember our reading last week from Isaiah, what was Jesus going to do? He was going to free the captives. He was going to loose the bonds. Jesus has come to release us from the torment of the evil angels. And this demon questions if Jesus has come to destroy them. This brings us to an end times interpretation of the text before us. It's pointing to the end times. What is really going on? The great battle of the last days is upon us. And in fact, you live in the last days. It's not something we're waiting for. You're in it. You are in it right now, up to your neck. Maybe even in over your head some days. But you are in the last days. And the miracles and teaching of Jesus show us that a new day of salvation has dawned upon us. And the demons fear the appearance of the Holy One of God. For the Messiah has come to destroy their kingdom by releasing those held in bondage. And this will happen on the cross. Jesus has the power to bind and to exorcise demons. And just what is this pointing to? It's pointing to the cross. It's pointing to that great exorcism of the satanic forces from this world, the binding of the satanic forces and the crushing of the devil's head. Right? The bondage of Satan is brought about by Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection will bring about the ultimate exorcism of the world. And thus the demon recognizes Jesus as the Messiah and gives Jesus the appropriate title, the Holy One of God. The same thing occurs shortly following the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Remember, Jesus comes in, he rebukes the illness, you know, leave her, rebukes the fever, tells it to stop. His word has power. When Jesus speaks, people are healed. When Jesus speaks, demons are sent fleeing from people. This is what is going on. When Jesus gives his word and uses his word does what it says it will do. Be healed, he says to Simon's mother-in-law, and she is healed. Be forgiven, and sins are forgiven. You are healed, said Jesus. And what happens? You are healed. The incarnate word speaks with divine authority. The word of Jesus accomplishes what Jesus sends this word out to do. The word of Jesus gets around town. And that evening, people bring all the sick and the demon-possessed to Jesus. And what does he do? He has compassion on the people. His heart goes out to him. And he works all night long, laying his hands on people, healing them, driving out demons from the demon-possessed. And the demons come out of people, confessing who Jesus is. You are the Son of God. But it's not the right time for this confession. It's not the right time for... It is a confession of faith, that is for sure, but a confession nonetheless. So it's not a confession of faith in Jesus, it's just a confession of who Jesus is. It's just like on the last day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. On that day, even the unbelievers will confess it. It'll be too late for it to be a confession of faith. Even the demons will confess that on the last day, right? But Jesus today seals their lips. He does not let them talk. It is not time yet for this confession to be brought forth. It is not time. But it is an indication that these demons know very clearly just who exactly Jesus is and what he has come to do. Jesus' release of the captives is part of his work as the Son of God, fulfilling his destiny that was announced at his baptism. And do you also notice in this that Jesus, when he heals, doesn't make a distinction really between the physical and the spiritual, between the body and the soul, between the infirmities of the flesh and the realities of demon possession? Because weakness and sickness on earth are all, each and every one of them, evidence of the fallen nature of creation, a creation that is in need of its release from bondage. This release Jesus can do because he is truly the Holy One of God, the Son of God, the Christ. Yes, you still battle in this life. You still battle sin. You still battle the forces of evil in your life. They push back on you when you confess Christ. And I've always been amazed, and when I know I've probably said this before, but have you ever noticed that wherever the things of God appear, conflict comes right along with them, right? Okay. You have a baptism in your family, right? Your baby's baptized. You have the big dinner at home. You're not right into that dinner a half hour before somebody gets crabby, right? And the devil is just at work. He is pecking and pecking and pecking. He is at work in your life in many and various ways. It is all the more important then that you claim Christ and cling to Christ in all of this battle that you're in. Your life, your iniquity, the evil forces are showing up. We live, though, in the last days where we are fully aware of God's plan of salvation has been worked out by faith, by Jesus, and that in Jesus' name you have release from the bondage of sin. I mean, think for a moment, what are we doing today? Today is a day where we receive the sacrament of the altar, the true body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith and for the assurance of everlasting life and the resurrection of the dead. And we get all that. We're sure of it. We're certain of it. Why? Because Jesus himself gave us the words of institution. It was the Word of God made flesh, the Word of God in the world, the Word of God who took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this. Remember, it's me." And you know he took the cup. The Word of God in the flesh took the cup. And he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." So in, with, and under the bread and wine of the sacrament of Holy Communion is the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? How? Because he said it was. The Word of God has declared that this bread and wine is his body and is his blood. He who said, "Let there be light," says, "This is my body," and it is so. He who said, "Let the world be filled with creatures," and it was so, says, "This is my blood," and it is so. You receive today the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for everything that he has promised you, everything. Oh, what a difference that little word "is" means. This is my body. This is my blood. By the power of his word, Jesus puts into your hands and in your mouth this day his true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and for life everlasting. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you do live in these final days where the good news of Jesus of Nazareth's defeat of sin, death, hell, and the devil is a present reality for you. And with the full reality yet to be realized when Jesus comes again in glory, exercising all of his divine might, remaking the heavens and the earth, and making all things new again. We rejoice in what Jesus has accomplished for us on our behalf, and we look forward to everything that Jesus will continue to do for us, so that we may always say of him, "Truly he is the Son of God." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, you showed yourself to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, by exorcising demons and healing the sick with the power and authority of your creative word. Through your word to us, assure us of the forgiveness of our sins and of life everlasting in and through your work on the cross, your innocent death, and your glorious resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, hear our continued prayers for those who still mourn the death of their loved ones. We specifically ask that you would comfort Barb Brandt and Helen Connect as they continue to grieve the loss of their husbands. Bless they and their families in this time of grief, and We pray that you would draw all of them closer to you. Indeed, O Lord, we pray all for all who mourn and grieve the death of loved ones. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of the nations, bless those placed in authority over us. Grant that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in mind. Look favorably on our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your Son has become our faithful High Priest, making atonement for the sins of all people, hear his intercession for his bride, the Church. Grant that the suffering, the sick, the sorrowful, especially those we know and name in our hearts, would be blessed by your loving visitation. Lord, in your mercy. Father of lasting peace, show mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that they would behold their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ, given for them, and with all your saints be well prepared to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful people of all times and in all places, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, until he comes again in glory as the victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of the offertory. Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 507, Holy, Holy, Holy. Hymn number 507 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Be seated. Youth group tonight out at school, 4 to 5:45. It's a Christian formation, but a Christian formation.
And then slaughter ball, that's what we're going to play tonight. No, but maybe a little dodgeball, something like that, out at the gym tonight. You know, we'll have a good time. It'll be a lot of fun. Let's see. I've got auction and, you know what, Casey, I hope you're back there still. I'm going to turn this on. If you could turn the handheld up, Casey. There you go. No snacks or drinks, just your own personal water bottle. Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate that.
Good morning. I'm going to speak on behalf of the breakfast, on behalf of PTL. So we served 950 meals yesterday. We took in 12 hogs to make the day a success. Rough numbers, we brought in between the breakfast, the meat sales, and our hog sponsors around $13,000 for the school. We do still have meat available. John and I are doing donuts this morning, so we are back over there. Here at the church right now, we have some cooked fresh, we have some raw fresh, never frozen, and we have some bulk 1 pound frozen. With us here at the church, and then we still do have bulk sausage available at the school. So if you need that, let me know, or you can stop in or call Jody to get the bulk sausage. Thank you.
Thank you, and I have rough numbers to share on the challenge side, but also just want to thank all of you who were able to make it out for the breakfast yesterday and for those who donated for any of the items, whether it was sponsorships, hog sponsors, buying tickets, silent auctions. Also, thank you to all of the volunteers of our church that came and helped and worked the line and also ran the parking lot. We took good care of our people because we couldn't park on the grass yesterday, and so it was even able to have a bus that transported people over from Farm and Home. So really appreciate all of the extra work that people put in, and even our youth who helped bust the tables. It was great to see all of their hard work too. And then also thank you to Dr. Perry and to the teachers and staff for letting our committees invade the school for the week to prepare for it. And then all of the teachers served yesterday during the meal too. So greatly appreciate the team effort it takes to make this fundraiser happen. So as Megan shared, we were about $13,000 on that side. And then for challenge, from the silent auction, we were about $9,800 on silent auction items. And then we also collect sponsorships. And through sponsorships and the auction, and then the bake sale was over $1,000. So we had our bake sale donated from members in the community, a lot from Faith Church in addition to here at Zion. Collectively, we were at $13,000. So $26,000 in the building yesterday. I mean, that is just an amazing gift and generosity. On the challenge side, we are challenged as Zion Lutheran Church to ask the families of Zion Lutheran School and Church and the community to help us raise $20,000 that goes to the budget of Zion Lutheran School. And through what we did yesterday, through our year-long sponsors that we collect, and through the efforts that we did through the Fall Fest and Pie and Cake Auction last fall, we are currently at $22,100, roughly. So we've already hit it, which is amazing for that $20,000 goal. We have one more event to go. That is Music Trivia Night on March 15th. And that really isn't a huge moneymaker. We break even and go a little above, but I've said it many years. The goal of that one is friendraiser. We really are asking you all to think about having a table and bring your friends into this event. It's at the American Legion Hall. It's just a really fun, very low-stress night. Music trivia is run by a company in Bloomington, so we're not even trying to think of the questions or do anything. It's just a great time to bring your friends in and introduce them to this community of Zion Lutheran School and Church. So thank you guys so much. It's amazing what we accomplished.
And very bottom. And lastly, there is, as we announced last week, a door offering today, not for the school, but for...
It's more of Camp Stilton. I want to challenge all of you, as I'm holding this little girl here. I've had three children go through that camp, and I can't say enough good things about that place. And the fact that they want to do it for $75 this year is a big deal. There are many years when both camps do not have much. So I hope you guys think I should.
Thank you, Chris. And those plates are right by the door as you pass by. If you have a few extra bucks in your pocket, feel free to drop them in the offering plate. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.